Picture, for a moment, a small furniture workshop somewhere in the countryside. The workshop is full of the kind of late afternoon light that comes through tall, dusty windows, and the air smells of cedar shavings and a little bit of linseed oil. There's a long workbench in the middle of the room, and on the workbench, half finished, lies a small writing desk. Most of the work on this desk has been done by machines. The boards were milled to thickness by a planer that the workshop owner does not even watch anymore. The joints are cut on a router with a jig that holds everything in alignment. The drawer fronts were squared on a table saw that has not needed an adjustment in months. From a distance, you might assume that almost all of the work on this desk has been done by machines, and you'd be more or less right. The actual cutting, the actual shaping, the precise removal of material from one place and the joining of pieces in another has been mechanized for a long time. And yet the workshop owner is still here at the bench, holding a small hand plane and shaving the tiniest amount off the top edge of one of the drawer fronts. He is doing this by eye. He has been looking at this drawer for several minutes, with the kind of attention you give to something you're not sure about yet. He picks up the drawer. He puts it down. He squints at the proportion of the front against the body of the desk. He picks up the hand plane, takes one curling shaving off the top edge, and looks again. He is not adjusting the machines. He is not measuring anything. He is doing the part of the work that the machines cannot do. The part he is doing has a name, even though the name is hard to define. We call it taste. This is rust, gently. A patient introduction to how computers actually work and to one particular language for talking to them. I am your host. This is episode 24, The Taste Layer. Today we are going to talk about the part of building software that no artificial intelligence agent, no matter how capable, could do for you. We're going to talk about the slow, accumulated sense of what something should be, of when a piece of work is finished, of which features should exist, and which one should be cut, of how a thing should feel to the person using it. We are going to talk about why this part of the work, in the age of agents, has become more important rather than less. By the end of the episode, you'll have a clearer picture of what your job actually is now, and you'll have permission, I hope, to stop apologizing for the parts of it that are slow. Let me back up to what we usually mean when we talk about software being good or not good. When most people, including most engineers, talk about a piece of software, they talk about whether it works. Does it compile? Does it pass its tests? Does it do the thing it was supposed to do? These are real questions, and we have spent most of this show on the small parts of the Rust language that answer them. The compiler asks them for you. The tests ask them for you. The linter asks them for you. An artificial intelligence agent working alongside you can write code that satisfies every one of those checks. The code compiles. The tests pass. The lint is clean. The feature does the thing. And the feature, in spite of all of that, can still be wrong. This is the part that surprises new orchestrators the most. They get back code from the agent that ticks every box, and they read it, and something is off. The feature exists, but it does not feel right. The button is in the wrong place. The text on the error message is technically correct, but tone deaf. The way the data is laid out makes sense to the agent, but not to the person who will actually have to read it. The flow of the program through three steps that should be two. The function that does its job in a way that is correct, but baroque, where a simpler version would have served better. None of these are bugs in the technical sense. The code works, but it is not the work you wanted. The thing that is missing is taste, and taste is something that the agent does not have and probably will not have for a long time. Let me try to be precise about what taste actually is, because the word on its own can sound vague or even snobbish. Taste, in the context of building software, is the slow, accumulated sense of what works and what is not, built up over years of seeing software you have made hit the real world and either succeed or fail. It is the knowledge, not held in any written rule book, that some particular feature should be cut even though the customer asked for it, because the customer is wrong about what they actually need. It is the sense that one particular wording is better than another, even though both are grammatically correct, because the better one feels like the people you are writing for. It is the knowledge that two small features done well are worth more than 10 features done sloppily. None of this can be derived from first principles. None of this lives in any database the agent has been trained on. It lives in you, in the worn-in shape of your judgment, the way the workshop owner's hand knows when the plane has taken enough off the drawer front. In the world before agents, taste was always one of the things that made a great engineer different from an average one. Two engineers given the same problem would produce two different solutions, and the better engineer solution would be smaller, simpler, easier to read, easier to change later, even though both solved the immediate problem. The difference was taste, but it was hidden because both engineers had also done a lot of the actual typing, and the typing was part of the work, and it was hard to tell from the outside where the typing ended and the taste began. In a world with agents, that distinction has become much sharper. The typing is no longer the bottleneck. The agent does the typing fast in enormous volume. What remains is the judgment that says which of the things the agent typed should stay, which should be cut, which should be redone, which were never the right thing in the first place. That is taste, and it is now standing in the open where it was always doing most of the actual work, but it is now visible as the bottleneck. Here is the part of this I want to be honest about. Taste is slow. It cannot be rushed. The agent can produce 10 versions of a feature in the time it takes you to evaluate one of them carefully. If you're not careful, the volume of agent output will overwhelm the rate at which you can apply judgment, and you'll start letting things through that you would not have let through if you had been thinking clearly. This is the real risk of working with an agent, and it is the risk that almost everyone underestimates the first few months. The agent is not producing wrong code. The agent is producing code faster than your taste can keep up, and the gap is where bad software comes from. What you can do as the orchestrator is to lean into the part of the work that is yours and to refuse to be rushed in that part. You can take the time to actually look at what the agent produced. You can ask whether the feature should exist at all, not just whether it compiles. You can hold a higher bar for what makes it into the code base than the agent itself can hold. The bar is yours to set, and your bar is the product in the end, because the product is the sum of everything you let through. There's a second thing I want to name, which is that taste is built. Nobody is born with it. The workshop owner spent 30 years looking at desks before his eye knew when one was right. You will spend years, possibly a whole career, building your sense of what good software is. Every project you ship, every feature that did not land, every interface that you wish you had done differently, all of that accumulates. The agent has no equivalent process. The agent's training is fixed. Your taste is alive. It grows. It is one of the small competitive advantages you have over any agent, no matter how capable, and it is one that compounds over years. For real production work, this matters in concrete ways. The teams that ship software people actually love in the current moment are not necessarily the ones with the most agents or the largest engineering teams. They're the teams where one person or a small group of people hold a strong, consistent sense of what the product should be, and where that sense gets applied to every piece of agent output before it ships. Astral, the company behind Ruff and UV, is one example. The way those tools feel, the speed, the small, clean error messages, the deliberate minimalism is taste. Sail, the distributed query engine we have mentioned several times, is another. The way the code base is organized, the way the error types are designed, the way the surface area of each crate is held small on purpose, all of that is taste. None of it would have happened by accident. There is one more thing I want to add, because it is the thing nobody tells you when you first take on the orchestrator's role. Taste cannot be borrowed from the agent. The agent will gladly produce a feature that looks reasonable, that compiles, that passes the tests. If you do not have your own opinion about whether the feature should exist, the agent will not develop one for you. The result, if you let it happen, is software that has no point of view. Software where every feature is technically defensible, but no feature is actually loved. This is a recognizable pattern in the work of teams that have leaned too heavily on agents without enough taste at the helm. The features arrive, the code compiles, and yet the product does not feel like anyone in particular made it. It feels like it was made by committee or by accident. The reason is that taste was missing, and taste is the only thing that gives software personality. Without it, you can ship a great deal of correct software that nobody enjoys using. What you can do, practically, is to start every project with a short statement of what the product is for and what you specifically care about. Not the kind of broad mission statement that gets pinned to office walls, but a concrete, opinionated paragraph that says, "This is the thing I'm trying to make. This is the audience. This is what I will not compromise on. This is what I am willing to cut." The agent will read that statement. The agent will incorporate the framing. But more importantly, you will refer to that statement again and again as the bar against which every piece of agent output gets measured. The statement is, in a sense, the externalized version of your taste in a form the agent can use. The discipline of writing it before any code gets produced is one of the highest leverage uses of your first hour on a new project. Three things to carry away from today. The first is that the agent can write code that compiles, passes tests, and does the thing, and yet the result can still be wrong, because correctness and goodness are not the same thing, and goodness lives in the judgment we call taste. The second is that taste is the slow accumulation of seeing things work and not work, that it lives in you and not in the agent, and that in the age of agents, it has become the visible bottleneck of the work rather than the hidden one. The third is that your job, as the orchestrator, is to refuse to be rushed in the part of the work that is yours, to set the bar higher than the agent can set on its own, and to take the time to actually look at what comes back, because the product is the sum of everything you let through. Next time on Rust, gently, we're going to talk about a much more practical situation, the moment when the agent gets stuck and starts going in circles. We will walk through the small set of moves that good orchestrators make in that moment, and the cost of not making them. Until then, take good care of yourself. I will see you in the next one.